Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 1 Peter, the first letter of the Apostle Peter. There are two of them in the New Testament. And we're starting 1 Peter today, and we'll read the whole chapter and the opening verses of chapter 2. This is God's Word. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy, because I am holy.' Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. You remember Peter. He was one of the 12. He was one of the three. And he always had something to say. Didn't always say the right thing. Sometimes he said the wrong thing. Sometimes he got it right. On one occasion, he said something that was so perfect that Jesus said, "You are blessed because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who's in heaven." What did he say? He said that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But guess what? Right after that, in the Gospels, Peter completely blows it because Jesus is saying that he's going to the cross. He's going to die for our sins. And this was just absolutely unacceptable to anybody who loved Jesus. And so Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. And Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man." That's who's writing this. Okay, so maybe some of what he's saying is good and some of what he's saying isn't. No. This isn't just a record of what Peter said. This is God's word. God breathed his word to us. And so it is perfect. It is completely true, absolutely reliable. And you and I need to study it, learn from it, put it into practice. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, that means the people God has chosen, strangers in the world, scattered throughout, and he names these places you're not familiar with, but they were, and this letter was being sent not just to one group, but to the people of God. They were scattered throughout all these different regions, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Do you catch what he said? We were chosen. I like that. Oh, wait a minute. Chosen for what? Chosen not only for cleansing, but for obedience to Jesus Christ. That's what God chose us for. God's plan for you, if you are a Christian, is that you are to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just be forgiven, not just sprinkled with his blood, not just cleansed in terms of your guilt, but cleansed in terms of your life. We are called to holiness. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Hallelujah. Grace, that is God's unmerited favor. He loves us not because we're good, not because we did something to earn it. He loves us because he loves us. He has chosen to love us. Hallelujah. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon said, and I can't quote it, but I can pretty much paraphrase accurately. He said, "I know that God chose me before I was born, on the basis of grace, because he certainly would have not chosen me after I was born on the basis of my behavior. God didn't say, well, I'm going to save the good people. There aren't any. Jesus came to save sinners. We qualify. You say, well, what if I'm not one of the chosen? If you're not one of the chosen, you wouldn't worry about it. If you want to know God, if you want to be his, it's because he chose you before the creation of the world, and he has put that desire in your heart. That's why you want to be his, is because you are. He has chosen and drawn you to himself. And therefore, we can't pat ourselves on the back, because remember, he didn't choose us because of something we did, because we were smarter. What did Jesus say to Peter when he confessed that Jesus is the Christ? He said, you are blessed. His flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Why do we come to faith? Because of God's grace. It is all because of grace. From first to last, God is the only one to be praised. The only thing I bring to the equation is my need of a Savior.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, and he's holding out his grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is God's grace that has done this. It is his power that has accomplished this. And we have a living hope because our Lord is alive. Jesus wasn't just a great teacher who said many wonderful things and did many wonderful things and then died for our sins. All of that is true, but he's not just that. He conquered death. Just as he said, he rose on the third day. And so we have a living hope. Jesus is our hope. We have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And he's not only given us new birth into this living hope, but he has given us an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. There's no way, Christian, that you can lose your inheritance. There's no way that God's going to say, listen, sorry, I had to use that to pay bills. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing. And our inheritance is absolutely secure. And our inheritance is so much better than anything anybody else could promise, because God owns everything. And we are his. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Not only does he keep the inheritance for us, he keeps us for the inheritance, who through faith are shielded by God until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. What is our response if we really believe this? In this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. So even after I'm saved, I go through tough times? Oh, absolutely. Jesus said, count on it. All kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You see, God is using suffering and trials in order to refine us. Gold, in order to be its best, has to be refined with fire. And yet, even after being refined by fire, gold perishes. What God is working in us is absolutely guaranteed by God to be eternal. Everything else goes away. Everything else goes away. If you pursue pleasure, popularity, power, whatever else, you're not going to have something that gives you lasting joy and peace. If you pursue the Lord, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will be added to you. Our relationship with him is the only thing that lasts forever. So, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. That's where the joy comes from. That's why when circumstances are going badly, we still have joy. We still have joy. We don't pretend that our circumstances are, oh, everything's fine. Don't ignore the fire. It's not that we're pretending that we don't have problems. It's that we are remembering that God and his grace are far greater than our problems. So, we are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy because we're receiving the goal of our faith, which is the salvation of our souls. Now, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Peter is recognizing that the things that happened to Jesus were prophesied long before. Jesus opened their minds and their eyes to understand that after the resurrection. And then it was like, oh my goodness, that was there all along. How could I have overlooked that? And Jesus is like, yeah, how could you overlook that? So, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you when they spoke of things that have now been told you by those who preached the gospel to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. What's he saying? He's saying the stuff that you've been told, the stuff that you've been given, is stuff that even the angels long to look into. They want to understand what God has given you the privilege of knowing. Do you realize what God has done for you and what God is doing for you? Or are you just kind of biding your time, trying to block it out and think about other stuff? Do you understand what a gift God has given? So, in light of that, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. In other words, it's going to be tough until he comes back. But as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Has anybody here ever wanted to do something that you knew you shouldn't do? Yeah. That's all of us. All of us had those desires. He's saying, you used to try and fulfill those desires. Now, you want to not fulfill those desires. It's like, I don't want to go there. You ever still feel tempted? Of course. But the difference is now, what used to be so desirable is like, no, I don't want that. Why? Because I want something else far more. What is that? To be like Jesus. I want to be conformed to his likeness. I want to be made like him. So, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Not just certain aspects of your life, but everything about your life should be completely dedicated to the Lord. Why should we be holy? Because God says so. It is written, be holy because I am holy. Well, what does that mean? It means set apart. It has to do with ownership and purpose. And we are to remember that we belong to God and that He made us His own for a purpose. And that purpose is that we might be holy. He wants us to display by the way that we live that we belong to Him. And when you belong to Him, you're not going to fit in with the world, because the world is on a broad road that is leading to destruction, and you're going to be going the opposite way, hence on a narrow road. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. As strangers here. You remember what he said at the beginning? To God's elect, strangers in the world. You and I, if we belong to Jesus, are not part of the mainstream. We're not like everybody else. We used to be. That's where all of us started out. But when God saves us, now we belong to Him. So we are holy, set apart for His purpose, and therefore strangers in this world. The world looks at us and it's like, what are you doing? Why won't you participate? Why won't you do this? I just hate you because you have this holier-than-thou attitude. Well, I am holier-than-thou. You understand? I've been bought with the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ has rescued me. I belong to Him. I don't look down on you, but I'm not going to join you in going toward destruction. I'm not going to do that. That would not be loving toward you. That wouldn't help our relationship if I'm willing to do things that I am told by God not to do. So, you live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. He says that way of life that your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents were living, if you didn't come from a Christian home, that way of life that the world is following was empty. And you've been redeemed from that. And you've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. If you're a Christian, you have been bought with the blood of Jesus. That means your value goes way up. Don't think that God is saying you're worthless. He isn't. He's saying, I love you. I love you so much that I paid the price for your salvation. That's why we want to live for Him. Peter is going to write in this letter about how we're supposed to love God, how we're supposed to serve one another, how we're supposed to be a witness in this world. But all of that is rooted in what God has already done to save us. God doesn't just tell us what to do so that we can be saved. God tells us what He has done in order to save us and how we're supposed to respond to that. Please understand, the reason we study God's Word is not to find a list of things to do and not to do, and if we do a good enough job with those, God will love us and save us. No. We study God's Word so that we are reminded again and again that God already loves us. And in light of that love, how should we respond?
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.